Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Şehr-i Ramazan el-lezî unzile fîhî'l-Kur'an. Fîhî âyâtun beyyinâtun minel-hudâ vel-furkân. Ramazan is the month wherein the Quran Sharif was revealed. Therein is guidance, bayyinat, clear proofs, wal furqan, and a criterion to show what is right, what is wrong, what is falsehood, what is truth. So this was the way of Allah Ta'ala, that nearly every revelation came in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. The scriptures of Ibrahim alayhi salam revealed the first of Ramadan. Then, moving upwards, the Torah sent for it. Musa alayhi salam, again the sixth of Ramadan. Then, coming on, Zabur, 12th of Ramadan. Then coming on to the Injil, sent to Isa alayhi salam, 18th of Ramadan. Then coming on to the Quran Sharif, then the 24th of Ramadan, or the 25th of Ramadan. First coming from the lower Mahfuz to the lower heaven, that is, it came from the lower Mahfuz to the lower heaven on the 24th of Ramadan. From the lower heaven to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over a period of 23 years. Now, you may be curious to know, what's the relationship Quran and Ramadan? Quran and Ramadan. So why does the revelation come specifically in the month of Ramadan? So there must be some type of a relationship. So the simplest thing that comes to mind is that in the month of Ramadan, your mind is moved away from food, drink, and sensual pleasure. Now this is the thing, or these are the things that arrest the mind, catches the mind, grips the mind. The food, drink, or some type of a sensual pleasure. Right? What else grips a person's mind? If it is not food, then it is drink. If it is not drink, then some type of sensual pleasure. These are the three things that catches your mind. Everything else is done for this three pleasure. The stove is bought for this pleasure. That type of fridge is bought for that type of pleasure. That type of holiday for that sensual pleasure, right? So everything revolves around these three things. But now the plan of Allah Ta'ala is that He asks you to refrain, abstain from these three things. Right? And it's not a torture, it's not a physical torture or you're torturing yourself, na'uzu billah. If it were that Allah Pak was torturing you, then Allah Pak would have said that have sari at least 3 hours before the time is up. And open your fast at least 3 hours after the time. So the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is totally different. Sari have it right at the end. And iftar immediately after sunset. So it's not a matter of self-torture. So then what it is? So when the mind is switched off from these things that you are naturally inclined towards, right? Switched off. Food, drink, and pleasure. So your mind is switched off from these three things. Then it is in a better position, the mind and the heart is in a better position to receive the pure revelation. When it receives the pure revelation, then it's got the chance and the opportunity to settle in your heart. For the heart to digest it, to settle. And when it's settled, then it will have the right effect. See, the seed has to be settled correctly for it to show the right results. But if you didn't show it the respect and you want to show, you want to have the right type of results, then it doesn't happen. Right? So the Quran is like the seed. Everything is coming from the Quran Sharif. But the Quran Sharif, for it to have its results, its effect, then the Quran has to be settled into the heart correctly. And the heart can be correct, the mind can be correct. The mind is off all these things here. Food, drink, sensual pleasure, mind is off this thing here. Now you're giving the heart and the mind a chance to receive the word of Allah Ta'ala. Receive it correctly, receive it fully, receive it in perspective, and you're giving it the chance. Unzila fi al-Qur'an. Then it is huda, one is guidance, bayyinat, clear proofs. Wal furqan, and it is also a criterion. The Quran Sharif is a criterion. Now very seldom do we take out the time to try and understand. Allah Pak says, huda, huda linnas, bayyinatin, wal furqan. So why did he use these three words? Bayyinatin, huda, wal furqan. Why? Why did you have to use the word furqan? Criterion. So criterion is what? Criterion is that will decide right from wrong, falsehood from truth, right? Anything that is evil and anything that is virtuous. So the criterion will decide. Now, to understand this and appreciate this, minus the Quran Sharif, would you understand what is purity and what is impurity? Would you understand what is purity, what is impurity? A lot of times you have to work, interact with non-Muslims, right? No concept of purity, impurity. They get into the toilet with the socks, come out making pisab, the pisab is touching the socks, washing the hands, going to toilet, they went to the urinal after washing the hands, washed the hand nicely, bath, went to the urinal, and same hand, they start eating. So the concept of purity, impurity is not in them. They don't have it. So what's the thing that will teach you purity from impurity? What is it? It's Quran Sharif. It will teach you that this is purity, this is impurity. For us, it's become natural by the grace of Allah Ta'ala that we came up in such homes. But those that did not have the opportunity to come up in this type of homes, do they know what is purity and impurity? They do not know it. Therefore, I feel very shaky, even shaking hands with a non-Muslim. But I'm thinking now, I think to myself, all right, now what's their style of bathing? Their style of bathing is, they fill the tub, right? Number two is, they don't make a stinja, use paper all the time, right? Now they jump into that water, so that water is with the backside plaster, right? Front side is messed up, backside is all plastered, and they jumped into that water. Now they're relaxing. They put that redox salt and all that, so make it look more fresh. But then what they're inhaling, the same thing they're inhaling. Same thing is going through the nose. Same thing. The whole body is napak now. Now they very clean, neat, they'll come and meet you. But I say, that person that is living in the farm, he may be a black, in many respects he is cleaner than this person here. Right? He may not have that type of clothing, that type of finishes. But if you look at it as a human being, he may be much cleaner than that person there. But now we don't look at things like this. It must appear good. Everything nowadays is that it must appear good. If you are proposing for a girl, she must appear to be good. Right? The food that is prepared must appear to be good. Right? So in most homes you'll find now that they bake cakes and all that, but it was something shining on the top. Some shining powder on the top, cake, biscuit, everything, there must be a shine. And surprisingly, I went to some homes, even the toilet got them some shining things there. So everything, they got a shine. So it must look good only. But the real thing is the heart and the mind of the person good? The house seems to be good, everything is sparkling, everything is shining, but is the heart sparkling? Is the mind sparkling? If you're going to be living there, your daughter going to be living there, is she going to have a good time? That sparkle and the shine doesn't guarantee a good, happy, satisfying life. No, it doesn't guarantee. What guarantees that is that person got deen. He understands, not just got deen, but he understands deen as well. One is to say the person has got deen. One is the person who understands deen. It's two different things. To understand is a different thing, and to have it is a different thing. When I was explaining this in the course of the week, I was explaining because of this illness. So people will show the sympathy in their own styles, in their own ways. And we have to tell them by learn how to go and visit the sick. If someone is bereaved now, how do you go and offer condolences? Understand these things there. Now, if you didn't understand it, you don't know how to do it. The idea of the condolence of visiting the sick, what is the idea? The idea is to relieve the person. But if you didn't learn it, are you going to bring about relief or are you going to bring additional pain? One deaf person is coming to meet his friend. The friend knows that this is deaf person. Right? He is going to carry on talking about his own story. Can't hear what I'm saying. He's deaf, so he's going to tell his own story. Right? He's going to make me feel miserable. Now, as it is now, he already made up his mind. This person here is going to eat my brains. He's going to make me feel miserable. So this deaf person is saying, yeah, you know, how are you feeling? So that's normal when you're going to say, how are you feeling? How are you keeping? So he's saying that I am dying. What is he saying? So mez mar raha. He said, mashallah, wonderful. He is deaf. So he's expecting him to say, no, I'm feeling well. So like he's expected, so he says, mashallah, wonderful, too beautiful, mashallah. What he's saying, I'm dying. And this person is saying, mashallah. Now he's already frustrating. As it is, he's in the state of sickness. He's like strapped to the bed, he can't move. And this person is coming, adding to the problem. See? Now, what needs to understand how the person feels. Our talking to him, does it bring relief to him? I'm coming to the madrasa, and everybody will meet. But I'm not in the state that you come and meet me. Because it's a strain. Now, you don't understand if it's an illness, right? That the person that is ill needs to be just left to relax. Now, you giving your hand, you extending your hand. Now, the sick person is thinking, who to give the hands to and who not to give the hands to. Because he's giving the hands and he's bringing additional pain to himself. And that person that is visiting doesn't understand that he's not bringing about the required relief, he's adding to the strain. See? Now I must get the barakat, I must get the barakat. So jam tam karina, they want to extend the hand. But they're not understanding, you see. That's the problem in this age. Pare likhe to bohot hai, samajhdar bohot kam. They've read a lot, people have read a lot, but the understanding is very little. Really, I'm talking from experience. They may be very widely read, but if you talk about true understanding and values, it's minimal. What they need today, any person, every person, whether it's elderly or whether it is young, they need to understand, get to grips, get to the bottom of things. They don't need so much of information. Yes, what they need is a wealth of understanding. Give yourself a time, understand, take the trouble to analyze, reason. So in that little hour, little moments, if you analyze, understand, try and see how it works, then you will come across such discoveries that you will wonder, hey, mashallah, where this thing is coming from. But you don't give yourself a chance. See? Anyway, the deaf person is asking, or tum kya dawa lete, what medicine are you taking? He's already frustrating. So I'm taking poison. So now on this side here, really, people's understanding is very weak. Really, I'm telling you, it's very weak. They don't understand. Furthermore, that's why he had to make some rules. Now anybody is coming, So he'll bring one mitai because he heard that Hazrat likes this mitai. So 50 people will bring the same mitai. What must he do? So what the mitai? He'll get sugar just now. What does he do? Now understand, Hazrat will like the mitai, but in proportion, 1-2% brought it is enough. Now 50% heard, oh, Hazrat liked this mitai. He brought, that person brought, that person brought. It becomes a problem. I know at one time, I just expressed my liking for ginger beer, right? And the next morning, this person is bringing, that person is bringing. But the ginger beer, kya karegi? Try to understand now how it works. See, this understanding faculty, that we're losing today. So he says to me, zehr ka raha, I'm taking poison. So now the deaf person is saying, to bahut hi achhi dawa hai. Allah ta'ala usko aapke pure jism ke andar sirayat kar jaye. Must get into every point veining. See this person. See how he's looking at it and how he's thinking. Now he's asking the last question he had to ask now. Or kaun se tabib se ilaj karate ho? Who's the doctor? Which physician is making your ilaj, treating you? He's already up the hill, you see. He can't handle this person any longer. So he says, main malakul maut ki ilaj kara raha hu. I'm taking the treatment from malakul maut. He said, mashallah, ye itne behtareen doctor hai. What a wonderful person. Wherever he goes, he accomplishes the work. See, lack of understanding. It sounds like a joke, but really it is a reflection of the lack of our understanding. We don't understand things. Put it in perspective, understand how it works, how that person feels. Like in this illness now, where there were educated people or uneducated people, well, the one sentence was coming up. Quite a few people to me, they might be very worried about you. Now that's not the sentence to say to a person that he is not feeling well. Because you're telling him, you know, you're very serious, you're very, very serious, hey, something can happen. That's what they're saying. The other way to say, hey, Murai, you're looking much better today, man. From yesterday, you're looking much better, mashallah. Now you see, you bring the person's morale, you bring his courage, morale, you bring it up. I was so stunned. I just heard that someone is ill, so this is the word to be said. Now you heard it, and without thinking that how that person responds, you didn't think about it, and you just went and blurted it out. So therefore I say, visiting the sick or offering condolence is a sunnah. But if you don't know how to do it, then just go for a short while, assalamu alaikum, looking much better, can I do anything, and move on. So it's easy for that person. That is when you didn't learn the whole thing. Same will apply to someone died now, you have to offer condolences, right? To offer the condolence is a sunnah, obviously. But you haven't learned how to offer condolences, then the better thing is, by short while, make dua, inshallah, everything should be alright for a Muslim. Inshallah, it's just you're moving from one realm to another realm. Inshallah, things will be much better there. We'll make dua for him. Don't worry, inshallah. Soon, in time, we'll also be together, inshallah. So you brought some type of a relief to the person. Today I was telling one friend of mine, see, the woman today are a little bit too fast. Right? Before they were on the slow lane, then they came into the middle lane, now they're in the fast lane. Right? So from the questions you can make out that they're really fast. So the question they're asking, right, this is a common question they ask. Okay, for men, there is the hoors, right? Okay, so many hoors in Jannat, etc., etc. So what do we have for our satisfaction in Jannat? Now this type of question was never asked before. Now they got the heart to ask, now what do we have? Now I'm thinking to myself, Allah must put something in my mind that I can answer this woman properly, correctly. So I have to give an explanation, right? See, Allah Ta'ala is the creator of man and He is the creator of pleasure. So man has got the ability to enjoy, right? And then Allah Ta'ala has created that ability, Allah Ta'ala has created the joy, Allah Ta'ala has created. So it is not just the joy that has been created, but the ability to enjoy. Like a lot of people went into that fever, right? So you lost your taste. When you lost the taste, can you enjoy? Can't. So Allah Ta'ala put that ability out. Then He returned it. He took that thing away, right? When He took it away, you got the joy and pleasure, but you can't enjoy it. So the ability to enjoy is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. The joy also is the ability, is the creation of Allah, both. Right? So in a lighter note, I'm saying, may Allah elevate the status of Maulana Harun Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, right? And he liked his iced coffee. Well, Juri told me some of his stories. So he liked that iced coffee, right? So thinking now, Allah Pak will give him so much there, because there Allah Pak says, Fiha an Harun min ma'in ghayri asin wa an Harun min labanil lam yataghayyar ta'am. Rivers, streams of milk, right? Uncorruptible. What water is? The milk is also uncorruptible. So it's so cool, so refreshing, purer than musk. The fragrance will be there. So, the coffee. If you look at the coffee, what is the base? Huh? Well, you eat with this business. What is the base? Milk is the base. The rest is just the flavorant, right? So Allah will give him the same milk with the flavor that he wants. May Allah make it such. The milk, that's the base. But then you would like a certain flavor to that milk. So can Allah make it available to you? He'll give you much more better. What you can think of and imagine, he'll just amplify it millions and billions of times. Drink and drink and drink. And there's no end to it. Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, he had gone to Sham, you know, there was a Rabita conference, so he was called. So, ilmi army, man, passion for knowledge. So he wanted to know that now, in that year, now 1960 somewhere. So are there any old ulama of the old school? You know, we'd like to see them, discuss with them, how they're reasoning, how they behave, how they raise. So he heard that there's one alim in a certain town, 120 years of age, he took the trouble to go and meet him. Right. So, he went to meet him, he saw that man, that Mulana, he saw him, 120 years of age. He saw one second person, maybe about 70, 80 years of age. And a third person, about 5 years of age. Ye bhi mera bachcha hai, aur ye bhi mera bachcha hai. This 80 years is also my child. And this 5 years also is my child. How old is he? 120. Why? Mind boggling, isn't it? 60, 70, and you say innings are over. This man is 180 and he's still batting. 120, still batting. So Mona asked him, you know what? And do you desire for anything? In this state now. So at that time he had that, you know, this Arab drink, that Suleimani tea. So he says, you see this stream that is running here? My only desire is that it must be a stream of Suleimani tea. I can just sip this thing all the time. So Allah Ta'ala God talks of these things, talks of what you're crying for, and what your heart is aspiring for. Allah Ta'ala God talks of it. So I wrote up to the woman, you see, Allah Ta'ala made you, and He created the desire in you, and He created fulfillment. He created desire, right? The ability to like, right? The ability to enjoy. But He's also created joy. Joy and the ability to enjoy is created. So, and Allah Pak knows every person's temperament. So when He knows you, He knows your temperament, He knows what's your joy, He knows what's your ability, what's your temperament, so He'll make it available there. Some things Allah Pak has just mentioned as a principle, as a rule. Right. From the rule you will understand what he is getting towards, but you will get everything. Lahum ma yashtahuna fiha. Whatever ma yashtahuna fiha, whatever you desire for, you will get that thing. You don't worry, you don't need to stress, you will get it. Right. But I suppose, because it is a thing related to woman, so Allah Ta'ala spoke about it in a very discreet way. He hasn't spoken about it so openly as compared to a man. Man things are all open, right? And a woman's things are a little bit very discreet. They would also like that refinement. They would also like that concealment. They don't want to be exposed, right? That's natural with a woman. A woman has gone abnormal. We're not talking about abnormal people, right? We're talking about people that are normal. So normal people, right? A woman is very, very stuck to the home. She doesn't want to go out. She wants to be like an asset to the family, to the household. So that's a normal woman. But an abnormal woman, no, I must enjoy like the rest of the world can enjoy. I must be outgoing like the rest of the world can be outgoing. I don't need to be a slave to the person here. I don't need to be. So that's an abnormal person. And a normal person, I need to be concealed. I need to be an asset. How can I be how can I be an asset and of service to the entire household? How can I do it? And then a woman is such, now a woman, that what about the neighbor? I made samosa today. Can I pass on something to this one here? I made some achar, so why can't I pass? So that's a normal woman. Right? But when you move away from this normal behavior, then you become an abnormal person. Then no, you know, this achar costs money. You want, we'll give it to you, but this is the price, 50 rands. Right? Just now it was going free, and now it became 50 rands. So it became an abnormal person. Anyway, what we're talking about is the Quran Sharif. Unzila fi al-Quran. And I spoke about the Quran and I said that it's a furqan as well. Furqan means it's a criterion. It will decide, right? When you make a decision, you make a decision between two things, right or wrong, right? Filth and purity. Cleanliness and impurity. So you make a decision. So I ask you, without the Quran Sharif, would you have understood what was purity and impurity? Would you have understood what was fair and unfair? Would you have understood? Would you have understood what is halal and haram? Would you have understood? You would have understood. Right? A swine and a goat would have been identical, the same thing. You wouldn't have been able to distinguish and decide between a swine and a goat. But now the Quran Kharshayf says this is filth. Ritz. Fisk. It's filth. Dirt. Right? And this is pure. So now you understand. And then an ordinary, average Muslim, he doesn't want to use that name also. He feels so nauseated, right? He doesn't use that name. So that filth and that disgust is inside that child's heart. I know when we were children, the disgust for this thing was so much it was, which was the day again, you know, that even touching a liquor bottle was held too contemptible. We don't want to touch it. We don't even kick the thing. So, you know, we treated it with so much of disgust. So that Muslim child that is coming up in that way, do you think that he'll ever come close to that? He won't come close. Because he's brought up in that way. The same person who knows that the Quran Sharif is a criterion, right? He'll know what is justice versus injustice. What is good character and what is rude, being impolite, etc. That is if the Quran Sharif took root in that person's heart. One trustee of one masjid in India, those days. So they had to revamp the masjid. So they need a lot of money, revamp, put the thing up. The masjid is getting small, Musalli population is increasing. They need to revamp. So he went out for a collection. Collected enough money to get the masjid right. 1-2 million he got. En route, he had to pass on masjid. Let me go read my namaz. Went to the toilet. Performed his namaz. And now he's gone. Indian conditions, 30-40 kilometers already traveled. Suddenly he says, hey, let me go and see the money. Money is not there. Now what? So he said, perhaps I just left it in the masjid where I had performed my namaz. Came back. As he came back, Maghrib time or Isha time, and he made an announcement, you see, this money was not mine. It was for a masjid, right? And whoever has taken the money, by accident or deliberately, please return it, because it's not my money. If it is my money, then the fight is between me and that person, right? But when it is Allah Ta'ala's money, it's Allah Ta'ala's wealth, because it's his house, then the fight is between him and Allah Ta'ala. So that person can't be spared. Anyway, I made that announcement, everything was over. At Isha, one person, very simple, doing the sweeping of the masjid, he met me, showed me some ikram and akhlaq, took me home, fed me nicely. Fajr namaz we read, we had breakfast, and then he handled the entire parcel to me. 2 million, I saw it, mashallah. So, he says now, as a matter of appreciation, I wanted to give him about 2,000, you know, just to appreciate, an appreciation. So no, not at all. You know, this person is sweeping in the masjid, those times. I can remember those. I know those days, right? The monthly salary of a person doing that type of a menial work would have been about 10 or 20 rupees, and he's giving him a handout of 2,000. So, no, I can't take this. So you think I'm giving it to you from the masjid, my Lord. It's my personal money. I'm giving you 2,000. No, I don't need it at all. Why? I'm giving it to you as a token of appreciation, but you don't want to touch 1 rupee. Why? What's your problem? He says, you see, now see this ordinary person sometimes, you know, I say the reasoning, understanding. So some persons have got a lot of information, but no reasoning ability. That's what's happening today. Too much of information, but no reasoning ability. Reasoning ability is gone. That's why the hadith also says that there'll be an abundance of knowledge, right? There'll be an abundance of information, but lack of knowledge. But there'll be jahils, so much of information, but with that information, they'll be still jahil. Why? The reason is that they don't have the understanding. I got the knowledge, but I'm applying it incorrectly. I don't know how to apply the knowledge and how to apply the knowledge correctly. So what is the use of the knowledge when you can't apply it correctly? I was explaining this to the ustaz, you know, that we think, we have an abundance of knowledge. That's it. But knowledge has a certain effect. It has a certain effect. If it shows that effect, then you would say it's knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِي الْعُلَمَى. So knowledge has a certain effect. The effect of knowledge is khashyat. That's the product. That's the fruit of knowledge. What is it? It is khashyat, right? Now to break it down to our terms, say someone is offering you honey, right? It's very good, first-class honey. It is sugar-free, no sweetness. Will you take that sugar? Say, sugar-free, man. Honey is sugar-free. You'll take it. Tell me the truth. You'll take it. Why? The honey is supposed to have a certain effect. It doesn't have the effect. So what's the use of taking the honey? Someone is offering you milk, but without the color. Are you prepared to take that milk? So the milk is supposed to have a certain effect. The honey was supposed to have a certain effect. It doesn't have that effect. We don't want it. So by the same token, knowledge was supposed to have a certain effect. If it has that effect, very good. But if it doesn't have that effect, there's something wrong. There's something deficient here, that he's got the knowledge, but that knowledge is not showing the effect. See. So what was the effect of ilm? The effect of ilm is that you have khashyat in you. The fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala grows. As your knowledge grows, then the awareness of Allah Ta'ala grows. As your knowledge grows, understanding of Allah Ta'ala, His presence becomes more and more clear. Then I gave an example. I said, see, not referring to any particular person, right? But just imagine, I tell you that you take this parcel here and you go to a certain point, right, this parcel here, and cash you will make 20,000. If you can make me 2,000, then 18,000 is yours. It's just a matter of 1 hour. You go there and come back, and that 18,000 will be yours. Right? You can do it every day. Every day you want to do it, you do it, and that money is yours. Right? So how eager will you be towards it? It's a matter of taking the parcel there, selling the thing, and getting 18,000 rand for the day. So, what an easier, smart bargain, this terrific bargain, this man. But if I tell the same person, you know, if you are regular in your namaz, Allah Pak will make your rosy very, very easy. I ask you, if I tell you that Allah Pak will make your rosy so much easier, will it have the same effect like that 18,000 rand? So that means that ilm is not having its effect. When it's not having its effect, there is something deficient. Now, instead of you trying to expand your ilm, now look where, at which point that ilm is just leaking out. That effect of ilm, you know, that effect of ilm, at which point is it leaking out? Try and fix that thing up. Rather than just expanding it and growing it all the time, now see that there's something that is missing here, something short. And because of the shortage, the thing is just leaking out. So let me go and fill that thing up so that ilm will have its right effect. See, the effect of ilm. What ilm is supposed to be doing? It's a different thing altogether. We have misunderstood ilm. We don't know. So much of information. You go and look into the lives of all these imams, how they were. It was that ilm became their lives. They lived for it, they died for it. They held on to it. Nobody could shake them from one point to the other. Nobody could shake them. So that ilm came with that level of yaqeen, that nothing could shake them. Not the dunya could shake them, not the person could shake them, not wealth could shake them, nothing could shake them. They held on, and they held on so firmly. So the effect of ilm, you see that ilm comes with yaqeen, and the yaqeen, what it does to the person, it just capsizes the person. The whole person is transformed. See, that's now the effect of ilm. So we're talking about this person here, and he is offering 2,000 as an appreciation. And as a token, I'm giving you this 2,000. It's blank. He says, no, I'm absolutely not going to receive this at all. I don't want to take it at all. Do what you may, but you can just count me out. I'll never take this. But he says, what's the reason? Now look at this person, ordinary person sweeping the masjid, but the understanding Allah blessed him. So he says, you see, a masjid is a place that every Muslim is supposed to be contributing and doing something for it. Physically, financially, emotionally, whichever way. You can clean the masjid. You can look after the masjid. You can give some direction, give some understanding. And that is the duty that every Muslim owes to a masjid. A masjid is not a place for us to deceive, to rob, and to cheat. No. What can I do for the masjid? Maybe I don't have the money, I can clean the masjid. If I can't clean the whole masjid, maybe one corner or some surface, let me go and clean that thing, right? Maybe there's a bad odor somewhere in the masjid. Maybe I can just eradicate, eliminate it, and put some ether so that there's a nice feeling. So I don't like to say this, but I have to say it nowadays. Now and then I have to say it, you see. Now sometimes people are using artificial ether. The artificial ether will come right into the first surf. And to make it worse, make matters worse, they're offering other people. Now that artificial ether gives you a headache. Now they don't realize it. You know, some people are so thick now, they don't realize that it's artificial. When it's artificial, it's going to have a bad effect. So don't use it, especially when you're coming in the first surf. And don't offer it. You rather go and buy an expensive one, nice one. It'll bring a relief to you and relief to others. Now, using a cheap one, say, like offering everybody. 20 rand, now I'm going to show your generosity with 20 rand. Bhai, pagal pana hai, bhai. Don't show the stupidity. Do something, do it correctly. Do it rightly. Show the generosity, but rightly. Now, the cheap type of what they're using, then it gives a headache. You know, sometimes they use that, you know, the toilets or the same mixture is used, same. If you look at that thing, the same strain is there. And then you make it, someone learned how to make that with some technical process. They made that thing, and now they're wholesaling it. Everybody takes it. Now you don't realize that it's creating a headache. Sometimes I'm in namaz, I have to just hold my breath for that person to move away. I'll take a deep breath now, and I can't stand it. It's so heavy, it gives you a headache. You're not supposed to be using that type of atar. See, sab samajhne ki cheez hai, sochne ki cheez hai, to understand. Aur buzurgan din, Allah Pak gave them that ability to understand. Mirza Mazhar sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, the Shah Wali Ullah sahab used to say about him, that in this day and age, I don't find a person as great as Mirza sahab, rahmatullah alayhi. So such a great person. Right? But a very, very refined. Mind is very refined. So it's a winter cold night, he doesn't have enough to cover himself. Now these people here, the poverty that came to them was of their own choice. Now they got something and they see a needy person, now they give it to him. So as a result now, the poverty becomes like their style. Cold winter's night, Delhi is just near the Himalayas. So you can imagine how cold it is. So an old woman heard, that he's suffering in the cold. So she made a nice blanket or something. And now she finished off just after Isha. She gave it to the Khadim. By the morning she's asking the Khadim, you know what, his husband must have enjoyed his sleep today. So the Khadim says, no, he couldn't sleep the whole night. What happened? He says that in the dark now, and he covered the Mirza Sahib with the blanket. In the dark, absolute pitch dark. But he made out that the seaming was not straight. See, the seaming was not straight. And that brought some type of an uneasiness. The whole night he couldn't sleep. See the refined temperament. Temperament is very refined. But this was not only to this woman here. The king of the time, what was his name? King of the time came to visit him. He would not entertain this king's honor. But now sometimes they come in crashing in. So he crashed in, and as he seated there, he's asking for water. Right? I'm showing you all this understanding. Right? He asked for water. So Mirza Sahib told him, see, there is a earthenware, you know, this clay pot. There's a clay pot there. There's water that you could help yourself. So anyway, he drank that water, quite comfortable. And then he says to Mirza Sahib, can I offer you any assistance? Can I be of any help to you? So Mirza Sahib says to him, see, you don't know even how to replace the lid of the container and how to place the cup, right? You don't know how to replace the lid, and nor do you know how to replace the container, right? So if you don't know these simple basic things, then how can you run such a big administration? Whole of India, how can you run the thing? A small thing like this, a clay pot, to see that it's covered correctly, you know, balanced rightly, and the container is also placed correctly. You couldn't do that. So this whole wide administration, how can you run the thing? See. So one khadim is to come from a distance, is to come once in the year, twice in the year is to come. So he's asking Mirza Sahib, you know, can I be of some khidmat to you, some service, can I do something? And Mirza Sahib is just avoiding him all the time. He's avoiding him. So he knows what's going on to himself. He knows how much he's enduring him. But he's saying, some khidmat. Now when he went over the limit, he went beyond the limit, hundreds of times he's asking. So Mirza Sahib says to him, you know what, brother, you know what, you come to visit me twice in the year. Can you just reduce it to once in the year? He thought he's going to be doing Hazrat Khidmat, you know, coming to see him twice in the year. I'm showing a refined trait, refined temperament. See, as a Buzruk progresses, it becomes more and more refined. And you need to understand that he's becoming more and more refined, so you have to work with him accordingly. See, because he's taking things in a different light, he's taking things differently. And you don't know that this person is becoming more and more refined. When he's becoming more and more refined, so he can't tolerate certain things. But he will just enjoy it. He'll suffer himself just for your ease. He will not say anything. Right? We need to understand that this is how, you know, he's suffering. He's taking it a little bit different, more difficulty. I know I'll complete the story just now. But I was in Marisburg once, you know. So someone said, this person went for an open heart surgery, let's go and visit him. So, all right. Went to visit him. So then someone else pulled in. So now we can't just leave now. The sick man likes our presence, so we had to be there. See, if it is that he doesn't like your presence, or he's finding it a little bit difficult, then you move away straight. But by some sign or the other, you understand that he wants you to be around, then it's rude not to leave. But he's finding some comfort with your presence, you'll be there for 5-10 minutes. Otherwise, 2-3 minutes is too much and you move away. So we just sit there. In the meanwhile, this new person that came in, so he's talking to this person that had that open heart surgery. He says, bhai, you better look after yourself. Because that man there, in that street, he had an open heart surgery. He didn't look after himself and he died. Bhai, kehne ki baat thi. Was it a thing to go and say this person? Imagine that person is confined to the bed, right? He can't move, can hardly eat nicely, can't sleep well. And you tell him all these stories here, so He's confined to the bed now. He's thinking about, hey, that man died, so when is my turn? That man died, so when is my turn? That's how he's going to think. That's how he's going to reason. But now you need to have the common sense. That's what I say. Either you know it properly, correctly, or otherwise, just sit there for a short while and move on. Sit. Don't say it. Don't say anything. It's better for you. So I'm saying that people have an abundance of information. They read all WhatsApp and all that, they call it abundance. But they don't have the ability to apply correctly, reason, understand, analyze, put things in place. They don't have that ability. So when they don't have that, so what's the ability? Sit a little bit, a small short while, and move on. One person, he saw that now the old man passed away, so they went to offer. No, a child passed away in the countryside. One child, small child, passed away. So some of the musallis got together. Let's go and offer condolence. So they went to offer condolence, and they say to the family, Allah Ta'ala ni'mal badal nasib kare. Allah Ta'ala give you a better replacement. Right? It's the right thing. He lost the first child. Try, Allah Ta'ala will give you something better. In the meanwhile, what happened was, in the next street, an old man, 89 years of age, he passed away. So when he passed away, now this youngster heard it, that when someone passes away, then these are the words to be said. So he went to offer the condolences to this woman here and her children. Her children are already 70, 72. She must be about 85, 86. So children are so big, right? So what he says, may Allah Ta'ala give you a better replacement. They gave to have to give one, two steps, give by get. What are you asking for? You know what you're asking for. So he read the information, but does he know how to apply? Doesn't know how to apply. So you bring about this type of problems as a lack of understanding. And this is what is the need of the time. That information, take it, understand how to apply it. Don't be in a rush to apply the thing. You will apply it incorrectly, and you will have an explosion after that. So rather than having an explosion, think, well, alright, how does thing fits? Where does it come in? Understand, see it in perspective. You put it in place, it will take your time, but you won't have any mishaps. So we're talking of Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, showing the refinement, you see. And I was going through this thing, everywhere, Assalamu alaikum, my son, how are you? They want me to talk. And I'm not in the state of talking at the time. So you are feeling weak now, you just need to be relaxing. No, alhamdulillah, there's no depression at all. But now these people are overdoing it. So you can meet very nice, but don't ask the person to talk. So now, we have to give you the story, give that person the story, give the third person the story. 50 people will come, 50 person, the same story. What will happen? See, in a condolence, right? So you say, no, hey, very, very sorry about your husband passing away, you know. So 50% tell that woman same story then. So one person must say, it's alright, enough. So others will say, no, we're making dua. May Allah Ta'ala give him a better status, and may Allah Ta'ala make you strong. So carry on. But now, you'll cry one time with that woman. She has to cry for 50 people. You came, the second person came, the third person came. She must cry all the time. Understand? So understand what it is all about. Bring about some relief. Yuridu Allahu bikum ul yusr. Allah Pak wants every facility for you, every type of ease, not to put you into difficulties. So anyway, we're talking about Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and this person here, and he's visiting Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh twice in the year. For his life come now, like how people come in Ramadan, some other days, 10 days, 12 days, and Ramadan then come. So they carry on, mashallah. And that's the way nowadays it's recommended. Don't come for a very long period. Come once a week, twice a week. And then maybe you came sometimes in Ramadan, 10 days, 12 days, that you got a better understanding. They say this because they understand people's minds are weak. When their minds are weak, then they won't be able to take things in perspective. They'll see one thing now, why the Hazrat is doing this? Why is he not doing this? For example, he went to a toilet, right? And there was some discharge of some gas, right? Hey, Hazrat did this now. Now they can't understand. They can't understand in perspective, right? They think the Hazrat will become like a farishta. They have no deeds at all. That's how they see it. And if he has some physical need, then how can he do such a thing? See? Sometimes it may be that some child had irritated him and he shouted him. How can he shout him? So you will not be able to understand things in perspective. Therefore they say, sit for a short while, and Ramadan or something, and you can sit for a longer period. So anyway, we are just delaying the story here. So Hazrat tells this person, when he kept on asking repeatedly, one time, and the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. So you see, you're coming and visiting me twice in the year. All I request of you is, in place of coming to see me twice in the year, come just once in the year. So what he thought and what he got. See, what he thought and what he got. So then Mirza Sabraham explains him. You see, you are fat and obese. Such a mafuta you are like this, right? And when you come in here, then I feel nauseated. See, I think to myself, hey, what this person must be eating, how much he must be eating. Then that thought nauseates me. And then when that nauseating feeling overtakes me, then I have to take laxatives to relieve myself. Now, previously I was younger, I could take and I could manage laxatives twice in the year. But now I'm aging. Now I'll be hurting myself. So it'll be easier for me if you come just once in the year. Come, stay nicely, and move away nicely. I can manage once. But now to do it twice in the year is going to be difficult. See what I'm talking about? Relief. This is just a story. It's true, but it's the story, right? But what I'm saying is the relief. When you're going to visit a person, going to see someone, the idea is to relieve, bring relief, mentally, physically, emotionally, how to bring relief. One, burden. Sometimes it's a simple person, but the understanding they come is too profound. He saw that Ibn Abbas was distressed at the loss of his father. Father passed away, so he's very much distressed. So now this burden, now he knows the principle is to bring relief. So he says to Ibn Abbas, long poetry, but at the end of the poetry he says that Wallahu khairul laka min al Abbasi. We know that you're going through a pain, right? But understand that Abbas is no more with you, right? He is with Allah Ta'ala, right? And the realm on that end is not hundreds of times, it's trillions of times better than where he was. And his host is far, far greater than what you can offer. So what's the need for you to be distressed when he's being hosted, he's being entertained, he's been given the type of hospitality that you can't offer? Then is it an occasion for you to be distressing? No, don't at all be distressed. He's moved on. And the host is giving him such a time, a royal time. That if you only see it, you want to be there yourself. Ibn Abbas, being such a great alim, he says, the amount of relief, the amount of happiness and ease I got from this burden, I didn't get from anybody. He understood that this is what is supposed to be done at that time, that you bring about some relief, some ease to the person. Don't make it heavy for the person. See the adab. Isn't our deen so beautiful? A beautiful religion. So we are talking of the Quran Sharif. And why I thought about speaking about the Quran Sharif lightly is because, see, you need something to hold on to. Hold on and hold on firmly. The more you will hold on to the Quran Sharif, recite the Quran Sharif, and intermittently you try and understand one, two verses. But a nice alim who knows the whole science nicely and he can explain it to you at your level. Take one verse, understand the thing, and for the whole day or 2-3 days, just repeat the whole contents as is explained by that alim. And see what a change it will do to you. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَى. It's a cure. مِنَ بَعِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُعَدَكَ. It strengthens your mind. Not only is it a cure, but it strengthens your mind, it strengthens your heart. So you will recite it, you will understand its contents, by someone that understands the Quran Sharif well. Just take a little bit, maybe 2 lines, 3 lines, 5 lines, how much you can manage nicely, understand it nicely, think about what you learned for the day, look at it again, read it, understand it, read it, understand it, right? But you'll find it has such a profound effect to your mind, to your heart. You get the strength, you get the stamina, right? But now, all these things happen, provided what? That you maintain some level of taqwa. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ التَّقَى. See, all these things, these promises that are made, promises will be experienced, provided you maintain some level of taqwa. See, now, in the days of ignorance, what happened? The days of ignorance, pagan, the time of the pagan era, what happened? Was, when they moved and progressed into paganism, then right things were considered to be prohibited, and prohibited things were considered to be right. Making tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif, they felt it is not right for us to wear our normal clothes and come around the Kaaba Sharif. We may have sinned in that clothing. So we should make tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif naked. So the prohibited things became right, and the right things became prohibited. So the right thing was to enter the home from the door. So that became prohibited. But now we're in the state of ihram, we're going for hajj, in the state of ihram, right? So how can we enter the home through the door? So what they would do, at the back of the house, the rear of the house, they would break one wall, and they would enter the home from the rear. So Allah Ta'ala stopped them, says the Lord. وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَنْ تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ زُهُورِهَا. This is not an act of righteousness that you break the rear wall and enter into the house through the rear. Although you are doing it with good intentions, you know, hey, I'm in the state of ihram, and this door, I must have entered this door here with a lot of wrong in my mind. Now I need to come through an entrance which is absolutely pure and clean, right? So the thought and the emotions that are running with it is too beautiful. But then this same thought, they began to consider as an act of ibadat, as an act of righteousness. And when that thing that was permissible, was just permissible, but you began to think about it, you began to believe it to be an act of righteousness. So this is now transformed into a bidat. Why into a bidat? Because these type of things have an appeal. Right? When it has an appeal, so what you will do is you will do these type of things, and the things that were faraz and compulsory, you left it out. Now you left out that faraz namaz, fajr namaz you left out, isha namaz you left out. This one zikr majlis, and for the zikr majlis. If you didn't go to the zikr majlis now, hey, why didn't come to the zikr majlis? You know what, the thing you missed out. But did anybody ask you, that did you read your fajr namaz with jamaat? Did you read your isha namaz with jamaat? Nobody's concerned. Yes, you didn't come, didn't attend that. So now, this act that was permissible, and when you just stretched it beyond the parameters, now the same act became bidat. But you see how it starts off? It starts off in this way. So Allah Pak says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ تَقَى. For you to realize and experience and enjoy the good of what you have done, it is compulsory for you to understand that وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ تَقَى. Righteousness is to restrain. At any given time, you restrain yourself. Eyes you are restraining, ears you are restraining, tongue you are restraining, and nowadays even your mind and heart you need to restrain. If you don't restrain your mind and heart nowadays, then your mind is going to fantasize, your heart is going to fantasize over wrong things, haram things. Someone says, what's wrong with fantasizing? I didn't touch any person, I didn't talk. So I explain to the person, by these are simple things, try and understand yourself. No, you must explain to me what is the wrong in fantasizing. So I said, all right. Now you being ridiculous, so give an example that you will silence you for the rest of your life. Say for example, if someone has to fantasize with your wife or with your mother, that'd be acceptable. But he didn't touch her, he didn't talk to her, he didn't say anything. But why you say now it's haram? You know, don't even talk about that. Wow. I just talked to you and straight away went to the mother. Straight away went to my wife. So I said, this is the result of fantasizing. And you don't realize, you don't understand the disastrous effect, therefore you are making this type of question. Simple thing I told you, but don't allow the mind to wander into this wrong. So just look after these five things. Ears, eyes, tongue, heart. And the fifth thing is your time. I don't think if anybody looks after these five things without despising the next person and thinking too much of yourself, if someone just takes care, inshallah, he won't be a loser, inshallah. Allah Baktawfiq is incredible.